Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. O Lord, the five important Vedic mantras are represented by your five faces, from which the 38 most celebrated Vedic mantras have been generated. Your Lordship, being celebrated as Lord Shiva, is self-illuminated. You are directly situated as the Supreme Truth, known as Paramatma. Purport. In the the five mantras mentioned in this connection are as follows. 1. Purusha. 2. Aghora. 3. Sadhyojata. 4. Vamadeva. 5. Ishana. These five mantras are within the category of 38 special Vedic mantras chanted by Lord Shiva, who is therefore celebrated as Shiva or Mahadeva. Another reason why Lord Shiva is called Shiva, which means all auspicious, is that he is self-illuminated, exactly like Lord Vishnu, who is the Paramatma. Because Lord Shiva is directly an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, he is situated as Lord Vishnu's direct representative. This fact is corroborated by a Vedic mantra, Patim Vishiva Sha Atmeshvaram Shasvatam Shivam Achutam. The Super Soul is called by many names, of which Maheshvara, Shiva, and Achuta are especially mentioned. So let's go through again text 25. I read from text 25 only translations. 25. O Lord, you are the original source of Vedic literature. You are the original cause of material creation, the life force, the senses, the five elements, the three modes, and the Mahatattva. You are eternal time, determination, and the two religious systems called truth, satya, and truthfulness, rita. You are the shelter of syllable om, which consists of three letters, a, u, m. 26. O father of all planets, learned scholars, know that fire is your mouth, the surface of the globe is your lotus feet, eternal time is your movement, all the directions are your ears, and Varuna, master of the water, is your tongue. Purport. In the Shruti mantras, it is said, Agni Salva Devataha, fire is the aggregate of all demigods. Agni is the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is through Agni, or fire, that the Lord accepts all sacrificial oblations. 27. O Lord, the sky is your navel, the air is your breathing, the sun is your eyes, and the water is your semen. You are the shelter of all kinds of living entities, high and low. The gods of the moon is your mind, and the upper planet system is your head. 28. O Lord, you are the three Vedas personified. The seven seas are your abdomen, and the mountains are your bones. All drugs, creepers, and vegetables are the hairs on your body. The Vedic mantras like Gayatri are the seven layers of your body, and the Vedic religious system is the core of your heart. 29 again. For today's verse, O Lord, the five important Vedic mantras are represented by your five faces, from which the 38 most celebrated Vedic mantras have been generated. Your Lordship, being celebrated as Lord Shiva, is self-illuminated. You are directly situated as the Supreme Truth known as Paramatma. 오마기하나 띠므란다샤 깨하난자나 살랄까야 짝술 우밀담예나 다스마이 스리구라베 나마 자하이 스리 크리슈나 제탄냐 프라부 니타난다 스리아베타 가다다라 시바사리 고라박타 브린다 아레 크리슈나 아레 크리슈나 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 아레 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 라마 아레 라마 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 아레 아레 Thank you all for coming. As usual, the sitting on Piyasasa means butterfly in stomach. So it's never comfortable and very, what can I say, it's a kind of nervous place to sit. But by seeking your blessing, I'd like to speak some word or understanding with this verse. So I'd like to offer prayers first. Pancha kalpa trivasya kripa sindhu bevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. And also I'd like to seek the blessings of all Vaishnavas and all Vaishnavis. In Bhagavatam, third canto, Prabhupada explains in the one of purport. After explaining about Govardhan Lila, Prabhupada says like this. Therefore, Krishna's acts in his incarnations and his partiality to the devotees are all imitations only. Just like the stage makeup of an expert dramatical player. Krishna's acts in that capacity, however, are all omnipotent, and the remembrance of such activities of incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as powerful as Lord Himself. So this is the reason why in Srimad Bhagavatam there are so many lilas. So just the one of Lila is as powerful as the Lord Himself. That's why we are going through, in one sense, very difficult to understand topics. So this is a story about churning the milk ocean. So now, after churning the milk ocean, poison is coming out first. And then demigods, they have to deal with these poisons. They ask Lord Shiva to drink this poison. It is understand to for all of us what this means to us. We have to understand this lila properly. And also it is equally important how this story is relevant to us in our day-to-day life. So now, chapter 7 of 8th canto already has begun. And then you've been listening this lila every morning, practically. And then I'm sure that you might have some understanding that this lila, churning of milk ocean, how is it relevant to me in my day-to-day service? Actually, before I speak anything, I'd like to hear from you first. Then how is it relevant to you in your devotional service? Or how relevant is it in your even life? Yeah? Anyone want to share? If this knowledge is not practically applied to our own day-to-day devotional life, then what's the use of sitting in the Bhagavatam class, and also what's the use of sitting in Bhagavad class in the evening? Prabhupada set a structure so that we can improve our spiritual life. Does it make sense? Is it true? Yes, anyone? Maybe I say something, maybe you can add on later. So maybe that works a bit better way, I think. What I have understood through this Lila is that it shows that people in general trying to get the fruit first without going through the difficulties of having that fruit. Let me explain. One time there was a visitor in my house. There is a young girl, and at that time my second son was a kind of a baby, kind of around 6 months old. And then she was kind of very happy to play with this 6 months old baby. You know how cute they are. They're smiling, and then, you know, they're totally dependent on you once they are on your chest or on your lap. And then my wife has to go buy something to kind of outside. So she just walked out. And then she was, this guest was cuddling with my baby. And then all of a sudden, there was a smell coming. And then she said to me, "Oh, I can't handle this. Can you take your baby back? Can you clean up? And after clean up, you can give me back." So this is a kind of an interesting story. This signifies that people in general, their mentality is that when they see the baby, everybody sees the cute side of it. In order to make a baby cute, actually there are so much work involved. That's why whatever we see actually is a tip of iceberg. So the lights we are having, nowadays kind of we can see a lot of sun, yes? So people take it for granted, this sunrise and sunset. In order to have our sunshine, yeah? Sometimes people kind of enjoying their sunbath. In order to have that, actually there are elaborate arrangement behind it, which beyond our understanding. So this churning of milk ocean can give us insight that whatever we do, actually we have to go through certain amount of pain. So when they churn for the nectar, what did came up first? Poison came up first. This is the reality of our life. Yeah? When you join Hare Krishna movement, we all have different motivations. Yeah? Nobody joins Hare Krishna movement for pure devotional service. Is it true? Is somebody joined for Hare Krishna movement for pure devotional service? In my case, I joined Hare Krishna movement because I was hungry. There was some place that was giving a free food. Here, you know, the Yadavara Babu, who made Krishna's wonderful Prabhupada's chronological series. Do you know how he joined? Actually, he was asked to do some photograph of Srila Prabhupada. So he was a photographer. And then, by taking close picture of Srila Prabhupada, and all of a sudden he got into association with all the devotees, and then he became a devotee. This is our story. Maybe some people wants to join Hare Krishna movement, they want to have some peace in their life. Or some people maybe curiosity. There are so many stories. With 100 devotees and 100 different stories. But once you joined, what happens? First thing they do is just cleaning. Basically, you are all of a sudden situated in the bottom rung of society. You may be outside, maybe big banker, or you may be manager, or you got a master's degree or PhD or whatever may be. But when you join Hare Krishna movement, the first thing you do is cleaning. So some people hate cleaning and they just leave. Some people cannot handle all different needs. But if we go through this difficult time, then slowly, slowly nectar comes later. Although this nectar also has to do with some partial of, some kind of part of poison is involved with this nectar day to day life. So this is this kind of instruction that I received from this churning ocean of milk. Now I'm wondering, what is your kind of understanding of this journey of milk ocean in your day-to-day life? Anyone? Srinivas Bhava, share with your understanding or enlighten us. That has to do with this churning of milk ocean? Thank you. It is easy to see someone's bad qualities because it is right on our face. But it is difficult to see someone's good qualities. When Prabhupada left, the first anniversary of Prabhupada disappearance day, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said one thing. Actually, 2 points. The unique distribution, the contribution of Srila Prabhupada amongst all other spiritual leaders is that he brought Krishna consciousness to the West as well as to the culture of Krishna consciousness. There were so many spiritual leaders who tried to propagate the Vedic knowledge, but they focused on philosophy and they focus on a religious side of it. But Prabhupada brought the culture with it. That's one unique contribution. And the second thing is that Prabhupada had a unique quality that he saw good in everybody. So his special thing was that fanning. Anyone has a small spark of good quality, he just fan them and then make a big fire of devotional service. We all have good qualities and bad qualities. In one sense, the churning of milk ocean, there are two parties, demons and demigods. The demons are representing bad qualities in us, and then the demigods representing good qualities in us. So they are churning. So day-to-day life, actually we also facing this churning of good qualities and bad qualities. So then we have to recognize ourselves, what are the good qualities in us and what are the bad qualities in us. So if we recognize these good qualities and bad qualities, then we can fan good qualities rather than focusing on getting rid of bad qualities. Why? Because when good quality is prominent, then naturally the bad qualities will subside. Yeah? Does it make sense? Yes. What are the bad qualities? Yes. Yes. Yeah, let's say the six enemies of mind. Yeah, we all know about it. But now, difficult question comes, what are the good qualities of us? Yes. Patience, tolerance, perseverance, determination, honesty, yeah, honesty, humility. Let's give us more so that we can recognize, yeah, truthfulness, yeah, cleanliness, charitable, austerity, compassion, yes, surrender to Krishna. Krishna says in 13th chapter, I think, in Bhagavad Gita, Amani tvam adam vitvam ahimsa shantir arjavam acharya upanishadam stairyam atma vinigraha. So I'll call this knowledge, and outside this, nothing is knowledge. The first thing is Amani tvam, humility, and adam vitvam, pridelessness, and ahimsa. Ahimsa means non-violence as well as loving others. Yeah, charity. And then ahimsa shanti, tolerance, kshanti, tolerance, and arjavam. Arjavam is, I think, simplicity. Achari upasanam. So when you have trouble, rather than going to court, you seek advice from senior devotees. Achari upasanam, socham, cleanliness. And stairyam is steadfastness, perseverance. And then stairyam, atma, vinigra, self-control. These are good qualities, so that somehow or other we have to develop this quality more and more, so that at the end of our life we'll get nectar from it. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in 10th Keto, there's one verse for the devotees, very, very familiar. This verse is so familiar, but that basically most people quote this verse when they go through some difficulty in their devotional service, or when they have some difficulty in their personal life. Verse goes like this. Tattenu kampam susamikshamano punjana eva atma kritam vipakam hrideva bapuvil vidadan namaste jiveta yo muktipade sadayava. Translation. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisance with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So, you all have heard of this verse, yeah? But I'm just wondering how much you have focused on the purport of it. In the purport, there are interesting things are mentioned. So there are long purport, but I read quite interesting part of it. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gopinanda ki jai, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman ki jai, Sri Sri Gaurantai ki jai. Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that a devotee who fully surrenders unto him is no longer liable to suffer the reactions of his previous karma. Do you agree? This is the topic we discussed the last time, yeah? When devotee goes through suffering or tremendous pain, what is the cause of it? A lot of people think that that is karma. But here, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that Devotee is no longer liable to suffer the reactions of his previous karma. However, because in his mind a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality, the Lord removes the last vestige of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that may sometimes resemble sinful reactions. So which means, when we churn our own milk ocean in our life, when poison comes, that is not from our previous karma. That is nothing but arrangement by Krishna. The Lord therefore creates particular situation to eradicate his remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather the Lord's special mercy for including his devotees to completely let go of material world and return home back to Godhead. So, we all have a certain part of some of poison in our life. Churning is going through every day. And also we have nectar also. So when you have this poison in your life, don't worry. That also part of Krishna's mercy. That all part of Krishna's plan. And also, you have to keep churning. Keep churning of your good qualities and bad qualities. And make your good quality prominent in your life. So that at the end, you get full of nectar. While preparing this class, I have an interesting question. Krishna guarantees that will come to me at the end of your life if you remember me. He never said in the middle of your life or beginning of your life. Why at the end? Why he particularly mentioned that only at the end of your life? Let's say Bhagavad Gita. Andakale cham maam eva smaram muktamam kalevaram. And then yaprayati samapavam yati nasti atra samsaya. So antakale cha maam eva antakale, at the time of your death, if you remember me, you will come to me. This is I promise. Why on earth at the end of life? And also, in the summary of Bhagavad Gita, the last verse, Krishna says to Arjuna, that is the way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So Krishna explains about spiritual life. And some people may not have a good chance to receive this spiritual knowledge. But Krishna guarantees one thing. Even if you hear about this spiritual knowledge, at the end of your life, you will go back to Godhead. But never mentions that in the middle of your life, or last part of your life, or beginning of your life. Why is that? Yes?
Well, you open up my interesting answer on this.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that.
I did pray from the Parikram in 2000. But then the Parikram, Lokanath Manga asked everyone, how many of you would like to see the real Vrindavan?
Okay. How many of you would like to see a real Vrindavan? Lokanath Maharaj answered, questioned to the devotees.
Everyone put their hands up. Everyone put their hands up.
Everyone put their hands up, yeah.
Lokanath Maharaj said, if all of you saw the real Vrindavan, all of you would stay in Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya's mission is going straight.
Okay, if you, all of you want to see Vrindavan, just stay in the Vrindavan, then...
The view of Vrindavan will reveal. All of you will stay in Vrindavan. And mission of Lord Chaitanya will not spread around the world.
Okay.
Now Lord Chaitanya is keeping Vrindavan covered. So all of you go to your country to spread the mission.
Sorry. Okay. But that doesn't... Does it answer you? Yeah? Let me read one more from Srimad Bhagavata. Let me question you again. This is Lord Brahma's prayer. He wants to pray, he wants to create this material world, so he needs to have creative energy. So in order to have some Shakti, he asks Krishna, give me some power to create. And then he prays to Krishna, let me take shelter of the lotus feet of him whose incarnation, qualities, and activities are mysterious imitation of worldly affairs. One who invokes his transcendental names, even unconsciously, at the time he quits his life, is certainly washed off, washed immediately of the sins of many, many births, and attains him without fail. Yes.
And what happens if a person has been in devotional service all their life, and then they die, you know, on a deathbed, so to speak, but because of the pain of the death would be accompanied by a lot of pain, and in the hospital it would be accompanied by a lot of anesthetics, the person's mind would be completely covered over by emotions, so you mentioned at that time, even though they perform devotional service all their life. So what is the position of a person who's not in
to remember at the final. Okay, that's another question. My first question is that why, particularly at the end of life, Krishna focuses on we have to remember him, we have to remember his name, pastimes. So why particularly at the end of life, not during the life? What is the reason? Let's get on with this one first, and then I'll deal with your question. Any idea? Yes. Become complacent. Could you explain a bit more? That's a good answer. So Krishna doesn't want us to become complacent. Krishna said in the middle of life, somewhere or other, if you chant my name, then you'll go back to Godhead. Then you will chant once and they will forget about it. But because Krishna said, at the end of life, you have to do it, so you have to keep working on it. Thank you. I got, I think, a good answer. Anyway, this question for all of you, so that you can kind of chew it over. And my understanding also similar to what he said, that if Krishna says, once in your life, if you remember me, that's fine. But if Krishna can tease that, then we become like elephant bathing. We wash ourselves, all our sins, by the sitting in Srimad Bhagavatam, by chanting, but our sinful disposition, or in another simple word, our bad qualities still remains. That this will pop up again. So that basically, to the end of life, we have to keep on working to improve our good qualities and also to constantly be with the association with the devotees and then reminding ourselves that how to remember Krishna, and then at the end of life, we chant Krishna's name. So this is the reason that, as he says, that we don't become complacent. So to the last of our life, basically, we have strived for it. This churning of milk ocean of our life has to keep on going until our deathbed. So this is a message that I'd like to share with you. And then another question. So nowadays, most people die in hospital. Yeah. In the hospital, at the end of their life, they put basically, before die, actually they put them to death by so many the procedure. For example, intensive care unit. Friends cannot visit. So you have to be on your own. So-called for treatment. So, my answer is this. My Guru Maharaj said, wrote a book, Dying Before Death. So basically, we have to practice our death every single day when we have life. So we never know when our consciousness will go. There's no guarantee that I live such and such amount of years and then that is my end of my life. Nobody knows. Only Krishna knows. So if we practice dying before dying, then the last consciousness will lead him to where he meant to go. So for the devotee's case, as you mentioned, that before he enters in the hospital, maybe before he loses his consciousness, the last consciousness, if he thinks about Krishna, then that consciousness will lead him to Krishna. After that, no matter what have done in the hospital, because it's irrelevant, already his consciousness is left. Parikshit Maharaj, the same case. When Parikshit Maharaj was facing the death, snake came to bite him. And then at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam recitation, Parikshit Maharaj consciousness already left his body to spiritual world. What he had is just a husk, just the form of it. And also actually Parikshit Maharaj didn't experience any pain of burning in the fire. So there is a saying that exalted soul always leave the body first. But by the science, there will be still breathing, there is movement of the heart, but their consciousness already leaves. So they don't feel any pain, really, ultimately. Is there any other question and comments?